Isn't it good to have Kit back? She's not only our favorite singer, she's written a song for every topic. And just matches them perfectly. So, would it be okay with you to start living at a much higher level of abundance?
Yes.
Whatever abundance would look like for you, it could be money, but it could be health, it might be relationships, it might be a richer, deeper spiritual life. So just think about what would constitute more abundance for you. Think about that all the time. We're in our Summer Prosperity series talking about how to create your best life. We live in a universe of abundance. The form it takes in your life will be shaped by your thinking. And I know I sound like a broken record talking about thinking, but that's how it works. And I mean thinking in the broadest sense. Consciousness is really a better word. Not just the thoughts that flit across your mind, but who you are, what you believe, how you feel. Everything you bring to this human experience is involved in your creative process. Some of it's conscious, some of it is not. Thinking is just shorthand for all of that. So we started this series 2 weeks ago talking about condition-based thinking. That's when we can't see past our immediate conditions. We're focused on what is, and we forget it could ever be different. We start to tailor our dreams to what we think might be possible given the conditions, like how much money's in the bank and other people's opinions. Then last week we talked about delays, which are also about thinking. If what you want isn't showing up, you're either creating from unconscious deeper desires, or you're holding thoughts that block your good. And I gave you a 5-finger process to shift your thoughts. God is, there's one presence and one power in the universe. I am part of that presence. The truth is, this presence is much bigger than any problem. So I can let go, step 4, knowing it's being handled. And 5, feel grateful. You can tick them off on your fingers. You can expand your consciousness sitting at a red light. So as I wrap up this series today, I want to talk some more about how the principle of abundance works and give you 3 things you can do to put yourself in the flow of good. Let's start with the big picture of deliberate creation. Our thinking establishes an energetic frequency. And once we're on a frequency, we get everything else that's on it. It's just like a TV channel. You only see the shows on that channel. If you want something different, you have to find another frequency. Do you want to be on the worry channel? The broke channel? The sick channel? So the first step is to stop thinking of yourself as worried or broke or sick. And this is an inside job. When we talk about creating our lives or asking for what we want, or even in prayer, we're doing most of the work on ourselves. You don't have to get God to do something for you any more than you have to convince God to make the sun shine every day. It always shines. It's there every day. What you have to do is open the shades and let the light stream in. Good is always available. We just make it welcome. When you want something, you're in that space of not having it. But when you make it welcome, there's a feeling of expectancy. You're open to receive. We have lots of tips and tools for doing that. That's why we have a Sunday Prosperity series every year. That's why I teach a prosperity class every year. It'll start in February, I think. We're always learning how to align with that stream of well-being and good, to connect consciously with the universe. Eric Butterworth, my favorite Unity writer, says it's important to take time frequently to be still and get centered at the still point within. That is the consciousness level where you are the focus of the limitless energy of the universe. Well, that's the channel we want to be on, the limitless energy of the universe channel. That's what you're doing with those 5 steps. You're changing the channel. You're adjusting your frequency, remembering that the universe does have limitless energy and possibilities. You're part of it. Your I am presence, the divine in you, is much more powerful than any problem. So you can let go and be grateful. There's nothing out there saying no to your desires, except you. But not God, not the universe, not spirit. Nothing is deciding what's best for you. Any more than the soil in the garden decides, it would really be better for you to have lettuce. I know you planted zucchini, but I'm going to give you lettuce. The system is set up to say yes to the thoughts we plant, whatever you focus on, whatever you decide. And I know each of you could give me half a dozen examples of how you don't think it could possibly work this way, and I can't prove to you that it does. I can't explain exactly how it works. I don't think most of it is conscious with us yet. But I know the truth of you. You are spirit. Your nature is abundance. You create abundance wherever you put your attention, including hurt or resentment. Wherever you direct your energy, you get an abundance of that. And yes, you can make mistakes with it. Your life shows where your attention has been. Spiritual teachers have known this law for thousands of years. The Buddha said, all we are is the result of what we have thought. Jesus said, the measure you give is the measure you get back. We are directing a tremendous force of energy. The substance of the universe is being shaped by our thoughts. Why aren't we more excited about this? So let's talk about how to work with this principle, how to take responsibility for our own creations, how to have a more abundant life. I'm going to give you three tools: giving, receiving, and commanding your path. This is that full verse from Jesus. It's Luke 6:38. He said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Give. That's the key to abundance. And notice, you give first. Then it will be given to you. And it will return multiplied. That's a spiritual law. There are millions of ways to give, everything from smiling at a stranger to giving away money. So let's go ahead and talk about tithing, because I can feel you dreading it. Tithing is not about giving to the church. Tithing is the biblical practice of giving away 10% of whatever you get. And we tithe where we are spiritually fed, whether that person or place needs money or not. So you might tithe to a church. I hope you're spiritually fed here. But you can also tithe to a person, a book author, a musician, an organization that you see practicing principle, honoring the divine in all people. We tithe not because we think it pleases God. In fact, in the Bible, God says, let me prove this to you. He says, when you tithe, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you. That's Old Testament, Malachi 3:10. In Unity, we say tithing puts us in the flow of giving and receiving. It invokes the law of reciprocity. And I know some of you have told me, well, you don't want to give in order to receive something. Okay, you can give for any reason you like. But you will receive. That's the law. So you might just have to get over that. You will hear that tithing is a spiritual law, and I treat it like one. I would not tithe. I've been tithing for a couple of decades, and I've always had enough money left. But I think giving is the actual law, not tithing by itself. Tithing is a way to practice the law of giving. It's a way to get over our fear of giving. It's a systematic, deliberate method of opening our fists to let go a little, just 10%. Some churches would say you're giving back to God. I think of it as releasing good to the universe. The good is flowing through your life and you keep the circulation going. You pass on 10%. You get to keep 90%. I read a story this week about a Unity minister in Florida whose congregation needed to raise a couple of $1 million for a new sanctuary. And they kicked off the campaign saying, it's not what we will do, it's who we will become. That's what all spiritual work is about. It's less about any particular goal than the journey. Whether your vision for your life involves money or health or relationships, you'll be a different person if you go through it consciously, remembering you're part of the one power, elevating the frequency of your consciousness. As wonderful as it is to get your dream, the real gift is who you become in the process. So this minister, Jim Rosemurgy, who has written a book about prosperity that we studied a few years ago, he wanted his congregation not so much to meet the financial challenge as to become the people who could meet the challenge. So they practiced what he called radical generosity. Jim told the congregation he didn't want generosity from them. He wanted generosity for them, because that's how the law works, giving and receiving. He said radical generosity is when you give until your ego squirms. And it will start to talk. You can't do that. Don't give away. You won't have enough left. Don't let go of that. But he said, if you push through that, you reach an inner peace knowing there is unlimited supply. You become someone you've never been before. You express the truth of your being. And of course, his church raised all the money they needed. It's our nature to be generous. We had to be taught to fear not having enough if we'd let go of a little. You're made in God's image, and giving is the truth of you. And that's only half the law. Once you learn to give, you will receive. You can't outgive God unless you say no. And it's easy to think you would never say no to your good, but good usually comes through other people. So have you ever turned down an offer of help? Have you ever deflected a compliment? Have you ever told someone who gave you a gift, you shouldn't have? If you can't receive, you are thwarting the law. You're not closing that loop. It's okay to receive. It's not more spiritual only to give. It's just exhausting. This cycle, this flow of giving and receiving is how all of nature is supposed to work. Lake Travis. Have you heard how full it is? Something like 120%. I thought it would never come back after the drought. So the Colorado River flows into it and out of it. In fact, if you look on a map, the whole thing is a river with wide spots we call lakes. Even the dam allows some flow through it. If a lake only has an inlet, it will fill up with trash and gunk and it will die. If it only has an outlet, it will run dry pretty quickly. It gives and receives. Trees draw carbon dioxide from the air and give back oxygen. In the fall, they release their leaves and the earth receives them as nourishment. Giving and receiving is the natural order, like breathing in and out. But giving starts that flow that will come back to you to be received. So shift your thoughts to the abundance you want in your life. It really is okay to do this. It's how the system works. And you can actually command what you want. It can be confusing in Unity because we talk a lot about prayer, and most people think of prayer as asking for what we want. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said, "Pray persistently." But then you'll hear, no, don't ask, affirm. Affirm that what you want is already available. Claim it. Demand your supply. More recently, I've heard, command your path. You're not commanding God to do something. You're commanding your own energy. Commanding puts the wheels in motion and opens a path to receive. Asking, affirming, and commanding are not contradictory. They're just on a spectrum. And as we mature spiritually, we take more initiative. We're supposed to. We use our own divine energy to create rather than asking it be done for us. A little child asks her parents for things. She can't get them on her own. But as she grows, she can do more and more for herself. We are not, as a human species, fully operating in divine consciousness. So maybe we are, in general, 18 years old. We can do things for ourselves, and we want to. Yeah, we might make some mistakes. But if we went back to ask a parent now, they'd likely say, "You're on your own, kid." So we can ask, and we can persistently ask more than once. I do believe there are angels or something, beings, available to help us, a celestial staff that has to have our permission to work in our lives. Asking issues that invitation. But even their goal is our divine independence. Like any teacher, they want us to grow. So we learn next to affirm. That's when we declare what we already know is true. It's the way we order something from Amazon and expect it to show up. We don't have to beg Amazon for it, and we're not longing and whining for it to come. We're confident it's available. Surely the infinite is as efficient as Amazon. So once you really get into that consciousness, you can command. This is affirmations on steroids. And again, you're not telling God what to do. You're directing your own divine energy, your I am presence. But you can picture it this way. Anything you ask creates a beam of light, and whatever you want will return by that same path. The energy of your call, the strength of the light you send, opens the way. Or think of it as broadband. When you Google something, how quickly you receive an answer depends on the capacity of your connection. So wouldn't you want to create as strong a connection as possible, knowing your answer will return along the same lines? I know it's not us down here and something up there answering us. I just know the system is set up to respond to our energy. The more we send up, the more it can send down. That's just a visual image. It's a way to think of it. And that's the great thing about principle. We don't have to know exactly how it works, any more than we know exactly how electricity has gotten to us when we flip on a light switch. If the light doesn't work, it's not God's will for you to be in the dark. You're just not connected properly yet. So you might experiment with commands. I had a minister friend who had tried every prosperity affirmation she could think of. And one day in frustration, she shouted at the universe, "Show me the money!" Worked. That's a command. But you can hear how it shifted her consciousness. Commanding is done with authority and volume, even silently. A lot of spiritual teachers recommend staying silent when you are trying to manifest so you won't dissipate the energy. A command can actually be louder in your head than you could make it with your voice. In your head, it can rattle the windows and echo off the hills. I command my body to heal. I command harmony in my relationship. You can tinker with the words, but you hear the power of that connection? It's the energy behind it that makes the difference. Anything you can affirm, you can command. Call on your power of zeal. Zeal is not plodding along or reluctantly cooperating with what you think is God's will. Zeal is taking the bull by the horns, declaring, "This is how my life is going to be." Can you see how issuing commands would change you? As with affirmations, you can't change anyone else. You can't control everything around you. But no matter the conditions, you get to decide how you're going to live, and I believe, decide what's going to come into your experience. If issuing a command feels too uncomfortable, you can command, "Thy will be done." You're still talking to your I am presence, the divine essence of you. This might take practice. If you issue a command and then you back away and start to giggle, "Well, I didn't mean to be rude. It would just be really nice to have this." That's okay. You've gone back to asking. It might take some time to step into your own power or even believe you have it. There really are no distinctions between asking or affirming or commanding, just different degrees of energy. And as you know, the universe responds to our energy. It reads our intentions. It reflects whatever we're holding in mind. And it matches the strength of our convictions. So the power starts with us. I can give you a great example of commanding and giving and receiving. And it's not rude or out of line. It's very matter of fact. About 3 years after Charles and Myrtle Fillmore founded Unity, they made a deal with God. They actually wrote out a contract in longhand. They called it their dedication and covenant. This is a copy of it that hangs in the little alcove off the bookstore. It said, "We, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have and expect to have, to the Spirit of Truth, and through it to the Society of Silent Unity," their work. "It being understood and agreed that the said Spirit of Truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want, without our making any of these things the object of our existence." Signed, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, December 7th, 1892. They promised to do what they could do on the human plane, and they knew that what they called the Spirit of Truth would supply the rest. They were going to give, and they prepared to receive. I love the tone of this because they were not asking. They were not even really affirming. They were commanding. This is what's going to happen. And it's as undramatic as, "I'll mow the grass while you fix dinner." They knew the law. The universe can't not respond. And the stronger and more unequivocal our intention, the better. The power starts with you. I know Unity ministers who hurl prayers into the infinite mind. They're issuing commands, their language is powerful, their voices are strong, and you have no doubt it will be done. Molly Steele, this morning. That was a commanding prayer. So try this for yourself. I know that some of us who were taught to beseech God in prayer, it's a long way to issuing commands to the I am presence of your being. But no one was more declarative or unequivocal than Jesus. And he said he came just so we could live more abundantly. Give and receive. It is yours to command. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So let's begin, as we always do, by taking a deep cleansing breath and allowing ourselves to sort of align ourselves in our chair, feet on the floor, gently closing our eyes if we haven't already. To bring our attention to maybe a word or an idea or a thought that may have been triggered. A prayer, a concern, a worry, a fear. Something that we may feel we don't have control over, or we don't have yet in our lives that we would like to have. ask ourselves what we would love from the situation. Not how. But the very thing that we know deeply would open us, open our hearts, and we could breathe that sigh of relief and feel that peace. What would I love? Love is the highest vibration there is. So we envision that person or that situation. As complete, as completely at peace, complete in joy, in abundance, in everything desired for the outcome. Picture it, imagination. What if? What would it look like if it were already so? Imagine the joy you feel. Imagine the peace you feel. You have stepped into that in the mind of spirit is already done. Plane of possibility, it is already done. So your affirmation, your command, is to express gratitude that this is already so. This is already so. And the I am statement, I am the person who lives in love. No matter what condition. Spreads joy and harmony in every relationship. I am the person who lives so abundantly gives so willingly and receives so gratefully. To stay awake and aware of being in the divine flow. I am more situation or circumstance. And I am so grateful. So take a deep breath in that gratitude. Begin to bring yourself back to this room. Fully, deeply breathing in.